Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Your Hospital Lab at Risk? Proactive ways to educate administrators on the value of lab testing, controlling lab data, and improving patient outcomes. The presenter is Jane Hermanson, Director, Outreach and Network Development, Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota.
Good afternoon and welcome to our afternoon session today. My name is Modena Henderson and I'm managing partner of Beyond Results. And today I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker. Our speaker is Ms. Jane Hermanson and her topic is around, is your hospital lab at risk? Jane is the Director of Outreach and Network Development at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. So I would like to turn it over to Jane.
Okay, super. Thank you so much. Thank you, Modena. So I'll start out with the obligatory thank you to the Executive War College team for the invitation to present. Always an honor to address this esteemed group. And I want to personally thank each and every one of you who had an opportunity to go take a nap after lunch. And you chose to spend your time here. I promise, no sleeping. I even brought the room lights up so it won't be dark. I see caffeine. That's good. So in case you are all wondering, what do I do with my phone during this session? I want you to take your phones right now, scan the barcode that is on this screen because you're going to need it. We're going to be doing some polling today. So you will get to see how you'll get to share your opinions and your thoughts, but you will also get to see how others respond at the same time. So please scan that. And with every question, that same QR code will be up there. So if you missed it this time, don't worry. There will be other opportunities. So is everybody else set? Technology, you're scanning the QR code. It's opened a website for you, right? You can see, and it says not available yet. Trust me, you'll have some opportunities. So with that, let's talk about the title of my talk. Is your hospital laboratory at risk? Proactive ways to educate administrators on the value of lab testing, controlling lab data, and improving patient outcomes. Every day, you can open up an industry newsletter, and what do you see? Another hospital health system has divested of some aspect of their laboratory, usually in exchange for money, and they've let go of control of their diagnostics. I'm assuming that you have a vested interest in perhaps not allowing that to happen in your own organizations. That's why you're here today. So whether you are from a hospital yourselves or you're from the vendor, the industry partner community, you all have a lot at stake. So when we talk about laboratory, please know that everybody has a horse in this race. So I'm going to start with a quick story. When you see this image, what comes to mind? Come on, shout out. What city?
Chicago.
Chicago. Do you know who owns the parking meters in the city of Chicago? A private company. You are a smart person, whoever you are. Yes, sir. Yes. He's my plant. Thank you for that answer. Indeed. So I'm going to tell you a story about how that happened. In the year 2008, our country was facing an economic crisis. And some of us, is there anybody in the room who wouldn't remember that? I think you might all, as I look around the room, I think you all remember that. So 2008, we were facing truly an economic crisis in this country. And the city of Chicago was no different. Summer of 2008, they found themselves in a $500 million budget deficit. That's a lot of money, $500 million. But Mayor Richard Daley, he found a solution. He was able to lease the city's 36,000 parking meters to an investment group out of Abu Dhabi for the mere price tag of $1.2 billion. So financial crisis averted. He found $1.2 billion, and he didn't have to worry about those 36,000 parking meters for the next 75 years of the city's existence. Turn them over, let somebody else deal with it. Along with that contract and the influx of cash, gentlemen in the back, come on up front. There's plenty of room to sit. Okay. All right. Okay. So what they did is there were some rules that went along with the $1.2 billion check. One of those rules was the city of Chicago would have to pay back, true up, pay a fine back to the investors if there was free parking within 1 mile of a parking meter. Free parking within a mile. All of the ramps in the community, in the city, had to be at least 3 times more than the hourly rate of a parking meter. Have you ever parked in a ramp in Chicago? Crazy expensive? Now you know why. They could not have any more than 6% of handicap spaces because handicap parking is free. So if there were more than 6% handicapped spots, they had to pay a fine. They also had to pay a fine if there was going to be any closure for parades or maintenance or anything like that. So if they were pulling parking meters out of circulation, they had to pay fines. Those fines average $20 million a year. Additionally, they built some bike lanes, took out parking spots. Built a bus lane, took out some parking spots. $75 million back to the owners. So given all of that cost, how do you think the city of Chicago has come out? $1.2 billion solved their financial crisis, $500 million, right? So now they came out ahead, 2008. 2011, the money was all gone. Closed 4 public schools, closed half of their public health mental health programs. And it's just been a downward slide since then. On the other side, the investor side, that $1.2 billion, doesn't take, how long does it take to pay that back? Those investors paid back their initial investment by 2019, made an additional $500 million. And they have until the year 2083 to reap all of those profits. Did the city of Chicago make the right decision? Is our medical laboratory healthcare's new parking meter? When we look at the trends that we're seeing in the industry today, are some of our health systems making equally short-sighted and potentially long-term negative impact decisions? That's what we're going to talk about today, because there are a lot of people saying, gee, I don't know. What should we do? So now we're going to launch into a couple of polls. So for those of you who may have come up a little bit late, just take your phone, scan this barcode, and then you have the opportunity. And what you're going to see is the same questions that are on the screen are going to show on the webpage that opens when you scan this barcode. So the question is, what type of laboratory do you have? So this gives me an idea of who all is sitting in the room here today. And I'm going to give it a little bit more until we have kind of a head count of, until I see about the right number of responses. So it looks like the majority of you are from integrated delivery networks or large health systems. Equal number are going to be from an other community, and I'm going to assume you are from the vendor or the industry partner community representing products and services that are sold into laboratory. And then we also now have standalone hospitals and health systems, 17%, and small to medium independent labs, 8%, and large independent commercial lab, 3%. You may not like this talk, you 3% people, but you're here, so we're all in this together, right? Okay. So the majority of you are from large IDNs. The majority of the room are truly from hospitals. And then we also have 38% who are going to be from that industry partner community. So now you know, look around the room. Now you know who each other are, right? Fantastic. So what brings you here today? You have some options. You want to protect your lab? You want to take your lab back? You're just curious? Or this is where the cool kids are hanging out. Your choice. There's no wrong answer. Some of you want to be the cool kid. Some of you are actually being really honest. And some of you are like, nah, but I'm a cool kid. Where are we going to go? Where are we landing? Okay, so we're going to give it a couple of more minutes, a couple more guesses. The majority want to protect your lab. Some of you are curious. And some of you really wanted to be part of the cool kids crowd. So regardless, we're all cool kids. So welcome to the club. So let's get started. What I'm going to do for you today, I'm going to share with you two case studies of health systems. And these are true stories, but what I have done is suppressed some relevant information so that they seem anonymous, because I don't want this to be perceived as being critical of any one group. And you might go, oh my gosh, I know who these are. And you can look across several markets in this country and you can actually say, yep, it's them. You may or may not be right. So let's find out. I'm going to tell you two stories. So again, true stories, and I've just suppressed some of the relevant, some of the revealing details that might give away who they are. Very similar health systems in size, very similar in geography. They're from the same region of the United States, and they are also very similar in the communities that they serve, as in the urban and surrounding rural populations that they serve. So they are very, very similar. And if you read this, you'll see that they're very similar in size. One of them, over 20 hospitals, 900 outpatient facilities. We make it easy for you to find the care that you need in your community. We're here. Number two, with more than 1,700 employed providers, we deliver high-quality care in your community, over 25 hospitals, over a couple of states. Seems similar enough to you? So let's talk about, remember, okay, so what happened in 2008? Let's think about that again. Economic crisis, right? These hospitals were, these health systems were in existence in 2008. Nationally, what was happening in 2008 in healthcare was this. Everybody was feeling a crunch financially. We found that patients were going to see their doctors less, and those that were seeing their doctors had shifted to a lower payment schedule, so they weren't getting paid, so the hospitals weren't getting paid as much money to care for the patients. We also found that providers were simply tired of running their own practices, and they were coming to the hospitals to be bailed out, bought out. They wanted to become employed. So we had this whole shifting patient, provider, no money, OG, and all of a sudden the hospital said, now what am I going to do? I have to make some changes. So cutbacks, reducing staff, reducing services, cutting costs, divesting of assets, considering mergers, looking at all kinds of different things to solve their financial concerns that they had in their own organizations. Does it sound familiar? Is there a parallel here? Gee, divesting of assets, reducing services, cutting costs. Very similar to our Chicago parking meter story. So now, with this framework in mind, 2008, financial crisis, two hospitals, number one, number two. That's about as creative as I could get today. So two health systems. Let's talk about them. I'm going to call them Laboratory One and Laboratory Number Two. Early 2000s, Laboratory Number One built a great big lab. Great big lab, lots of automation, huge test menu, well integrated, fantastic, fantastic laboratory. Good for them. Huge outreach program. Laboratory Number Two created a very strong business plan for their outreach program, had a great big core lab for their system. They were really, really strong. Seems similar so far? Good enough? Okay. Financial crisis comes, what happens? Laboratory Number One is approached, and they considered monetizing their laboratory. And they said, nope, don't think so. We've got this. Thanks anyway. Declined the offer. Remember that. Laboratory Number One declined the offer. Now, you're smart people. What did Laboratory Number Two do? They accepted the offer. Divested of their outreach program. So still pretty similar. So what happened? So this is 2008 financial crisis times. Laboratory number one grew as a system, added more hospitals under their system umbrella, added more laboratories under their umbrella, very, very strong growth. Laboratory number two, same thing, added more hospitals, very, very strong laboratory growth. One made one decision, one made another decision, no difference. Fast forward, now, laboratory number one expanded in a new location, expanded their test menu, and they partnered with regional hospitals and became more of an esoteric lab for regional hospitals. Laboratory number two, well, you know what? 5 years, their contract with that independent lab was up. They went, maybe we should take our outreach program back. Or maybe we sell off our new hospital members, we sell their outreach programs too, and we re-up the contract. That's what they did. Becky, I see your eyes. Yep, we feel it, right? Can you see where this is going, guys? It's all grayed in, but you can see where this is going. Okay, so they renewed the contract and doubled down. Sold more, doubled down. Laboratory number one continued to expand as a health system, brought more labs, more hospitals under their umbrella. Laboratory number two, some financial woes. Closed some hospitals, sold off some more assets related to their properties. Back to laboratory number one. What do you think is going to happen next? Number one, now they aligned with a regional health system, aligned with a very high-level strategy, built another laboratory, and became fully embedded into another group. Laboratory number two got some wind in their sails. They started adding some new hospitals, and they shifted their system ownership position just a little bit, just a slight shift in who was actually calling the shots for their systems. Back to laboratory number one, continued expanding their system, continued growing, continued integrating. Laboratory number two. So what we're doing now, we're kind of in the 2020s era. This is the last 5 years or so. So those are some of the, I can't tell you specifically when, but here's what's happened to laboratory number two. Some very massive financial woes. Big, big things are happening for them. Closing hospitals, defaulting on loans, owing millions and millions of dollars to their creditors. Now they've decided, let's sell off our physician practices. Let's see what else we can sell off. A very prominent physician group refused to admit patients or perform surgeries in that hospital anymore. And then the feds are coming to look. It's a problem. Laboratory number one just continues on. Laboratory number two, ongoing financial woes. True stories, both of these guys. Don't try and guess who they are because I won't answer. Which laboratory would you rather be? This is your polling question. And I will know who the smart aleck is in the room if you choose the wrong answer. I will know. Of course, we know which side we'd rather be on. But what was the difference? They had the same opportunity. One group made one decision. Another group made another decision. Of course, there are a lot of organizational cultures and things like that that go behind it. But they were similar organizations, similar population served, similar size. They could have done the same thing, either one of them, based on the decisions that they made. So here's fill in the blank. This is a word cloud. I want you to type into your polling device, what were the main differences between these two laboratories? Pick one word, pick two words. Type them in and we will see what this looks like. Oh, I like that. So as that is populating, short-sighted, difference with vision, different focus on patient care, an investment versus a divestment. I love that phrase. Now versus future, short-term gain. They valued the laboratory. Strategic. Somebody made an investment. You guys are fantastic. So you see what the difference is between those two laboratories. And they, big thinkers, I really like that too, because they were thinking differently. They were innovative. They had discipline. There was perceived value. Those were the differences. So what on earth was in the mind of laboratory number two, those leaders? Had they had a 15-year crystal ball? Do you think they would have made the decision that they made back in 2008? Yes? No? You'd hope not, right? Because what are the great things that can come through having laboratory? So I think what you need to do when you think about it, you need to take just not only the current view, but also a future view. So knowing what people were, what health systems were dealing with in 2008, shaving services, less patients, less reimbursement. What was leadership trying to accomplish? Wanted to keep their doors open, right? Well, guess what? No different today. So fresh data from this year, C-suite executives within healthcare, these are the priorities that they're facing today. So their top initiatives, so these CEOs, CEOs, COOs, CAOs, and CFOs, got those four letters in there. They had the opportunity to choose their top three initiatives, their highest levels of priority in their organizations. Their top strategic initiatives, number one, was revenue growth. So they had to pick three. So the top one that they picked, 57% said revenue growth is important to me. 46% said I'm interested in reducing costs. And 25% said I'm interested in my patient experience, improving the patient experience. When you think about your laboratory, how do you help with revenue growth? Can the laboratory help solve that revenue growth problem? Sure, through an outreach program, right? Can the laboratory help with reducing costs? Guess what? Through an outreach program. Because as you actually bring more volumes in, you're filling your capacity. You're using your staff better. You're spreading your overhead across more procedures. Can the laboratory influence the patient experience? Absolutely. Lab touches between 4 and 5 times more patients, outpatients, than any other service line in the organization. You frame the institution's perception through lab. Okay, so let's look at the red side. So when they ask these same executives, what are the things that you're most concerned about? They felt, 65% of them felt that there was a decrease in overall health of the population since the pandemic. And that decrease being driven by the fact that patients are not coming for their primary care visits related to managing their chronic illness. 43% weren't showing up for their annual wellness visit. 34% were skipping cancer screening. And in our own state of Minnesota, where I live, hospitals are really struggling to get patients discharged in time. And they have indicated that that cost of an avoidable discharge, the avoidable cost per day, is $2,500. How can laboratory help solve those problems? If we think about laboratory and the diagnostic and the monitoring and the screening value that we have related to cancer screening, related to chronic illness, if we're doing our jobs well, we're solving that executive priority. And if we have great turnaround time, we're able to get those patients discharged from the hospital more quickly. It's not a CBC or a potassium result. It's $2,500. That's real money. But the problem is people, leaders, don't think about it that way. So it's our job as laboratory leaders to elevate that message. So I talked in the first part, the top part of the slide, I talked about outreach and how important laboratory outreach is. Indeed, it truly is. And when we think about all of the different things that a laboratory outreach program can do and add value to the organization, there are a tremendous amount of benefits attached to that community-based model. And the first one is that the laboratory is embedded and integrated and standardized in with the clinical care practices of the organization. And when you look at a longitudinal medical record across an IDN and you follow that patient and their diagnostic path, that same test result that's done in the outpatient market, that outpatient visit, is going to be the same result that's done for their inpatient stay, their emergency room visit, they're stopped by the rehab facility on their post-discharge, and then all the way through to home care. So when you think about that whole continuum of care, providing longitudinal results via the electronic medical record, you now are you're supporting tracking and trending for those patients, chronic illness as well as those that are acute. Also, there was a study done in Canada a number of years ago, great proving ground because they have a single health system, single medical record. They were able to prove that 21% of laboratory tests that were performed in the emergency room were wasteful if they had only had an opportunity to see the outpatient test result. So when we look at ways to reduce costs and the value of having this integrated medical record, we can save 21% of costs if we do it right. So then the next piece, then just following across the top of the slide, reduction in the cost per test by maximizing your excess capacity in the laboratory. Just a show of hands, how many of you feel that you have excess capacity in your laboratories today? I know some of you don't have laboratories, but you're trying to sell excess capacity, right? So you fit. Okay, so if you think about that, there's excess capacity and you want to fill that capacity. I'm a lab scientist by training and background. I could stand at my piece of equipment and I could do 50 tests a day or I could do 500 tests a day. Where was I the more efficient employee? Doing 500 tests a day. And the thing is, these tests don't have the critical turnaround time needs that your inpatient market needs. Next day results are still going to exceed anything that an independent laboratory is going to provide. So you have tremendous opportunity to elevate and provide a much stronger service. So it reduces your cost per test by maximizing that capacity. Also, when you look at an organization that within a hospital, you have to pay for things like HR. You have to pay for IT. In Minnesota, we have to pay for plowing the parking lots. This is all overhead that the organization is accruing, and somebody has to pay for it. Well, when that overhead is sitting on your cost center, if you're spreading those costs across more procedures, your cost per test goes down. And that's one of the metrics when you are viewed, hopefully not often, but when you are viewed as a cost center, being able to lower and manage your cost is incredibly important. And it's not just the cost of the reagent, it's managing that overhead as well. Does that make sense? Okay. So if we go to the bottom of the slide, patients tend to follow specimens. Interestingly, what we are seeing more and more is that when organizations have divested of laboratory outreach, they have lost their touch with the community. There's no more hospital branding in that community. Where do you think those patients are receiving their other outpatient ambulatory procedures? Imaging, physical therapy, wound care. Where do you think they're going? Not to the hospital. They're going other places. So what you see, now you have this extra out-migration and you have this leakage of other ancillaries because the patients don't have that tie with lab. Conversely, what you have is when that patient has a great experience related to lab, they're going, hey, that's cool. Convenient process, no wait times, great locations. I can get my x-rays done here too. I might try them for something else. And those organizations who have very strong laboratory presences in the outpatient community are also now able to bring in more of those ancillary procedures. So it's more than just lab. We had a medical director at Mayo Clinic Laboratories for years who would say, we have to stop talking about ourselves as lab. When we just say lab, 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 it sounds like blah, blah, blah. Nobody gets it. So you have to talk about it, meaning something more. So when you think of these things here, what is it that we do? Man, we're the integrated medical record. You all know the 70-70 rule. 70% of the data, it comes from lab. 70% of clinical decisions are made using our results, absolutely. But what else? It's more than that. It's now the feeder for the other ancillaries. It's using capacity. It's driving profitable revenue. We also know, lower right bullet point on this slide, when you have a very strong laboratory community, what you have is the opportunity to influence test utilization with your providers, as opposed to an outside laboratory coming in and selling to your providers and pulling those tests away, because you have the relationship, you're able to say, you know what, let's talk about what the best test is here. And it gives you an opportunity to really launch into an appropriate stewardship conversation through that relationship. And then lastly, upper right bullet, because you are part of the community, community health systems are part of the community. And this gives you a greater level of accountability. The same patients that you are caring for in your laboratories are the same patients and the same providers that you might be sitting in the baseball stands with, watching your kids. You might be going to church with them. You might run into them in the grocery store. You are a community healthcare provider. So all of these things have tremendous, tremendous benefits. An outreach program is great for an organization. Why would anybody sell it? You're selling all of this. You're selling all of this and getting nothing in return. So if we think about our case studies of Lab 1 and Lab 2, what factors should be or could be considered? And you've got the immediate factors and the short-term factors and, of course, long-term. So if you think about the immediate, of course, it's the cash flow, right? But if you looked at the two case studies, short-term, not that big a deal, right? They both bought hospitals. They both expanded the health system. Things were doing okay. But it wasn't until it got to the long term where laboratory number one didn't let up, right? Put their foot on the gas and they just kept going. And they took no prisoners. And they're just incredibly, incredibly strong. Laboratory number two, they'd have a couple steps forward, then a couple steps back. And they take a step forward and then a couple more steps back to the point where it was a spiral for them. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get out of, because they actually have made so many poor decisions over time. And it's not just those views that matter, but there's a patient impact as well. As I was preparing for this talk, I actually went on to social media and I found a little patient trail that was talking about their experience with a laboratory. I won't tell you where this came from. It's slightly excerpted again to protect the innocent. But this was just from this month. And here's what a patient said. The hospital lab shut down and the service at Brand X Labs has gotten significantly worse. My wait time used to be pretty short. Now it's 90 minutes. I used to get my results within 24 hours. Now it's days. I'm getting lots of bills. I used to only get one bill from the hospital. That was it. Now I'm getting multiple bills. I can't even keep track of it anymore. And I never knew how good it was until it was gone. Do you think that CEO who said, the 25% of CEOs who said managing patient experience is in my top three, do you think they'd want to hear that? Was this their goal? This would never be their goal. And guess what? It's not only the patients, it's the providers as well. Same thread. Provider said, hey, yo, provider here. Guess what? It's even worse than you think. Turnaround time used to be 3 days. Now it's taking me 9 days to get a wound culture result. People can die if I don't get the right information. This is impacting patient care. Oh, gee, and by the way, something as simple as a ferritin, we got two different results on the same patient. Might be 10, might be 120. It's something. Pick a number. Pick a number. So provider satisfaction, patient satisfaction, these are all things that come into play. And these consequences, they were not planned. Nobody planned for this stuff to happen. But there was a study done on academic medical centers who had divested, turned their laboratory over to outside organizations, and this was published in, I believe it was Journal of American Pathology. And what they found is a huge, huge negative impact on physician satisfaction. Poor turnaround time, poor quality. And when they wanted to talk to somebody about their laboratory results, having that expert consultation, they couldn't find anybody to talk to. Huge dissatisfier. When you have dissatisfied physicians, you can't recruit staff. You can't retain staff because they're having a really poor experience. And then lastly, after that first few years, the honeymoon runs out. You got out of your $500 million debt with your parking meters in Chicago. You got your cash influx. But after that, then what happens? Fees go up. Prices go up. You have lost your control to influence utilization with your providers. And you're also blocked out. You've signed non-competes. You can't grow in your market. You can't grow in your county. You can't serve your own providers. So your hands are tied. Nobody ever stopped to think how people would talk. So how bad can it be? People talk, and these are the things, these are the quotes from the Reddit post. These are the quotes from the article. And what they say is people can die based on not having good turnaround time. Patients deserve a supportive and easy experience. I have a decade of laboratory history in my electronic medical record, in my MyChart, and now I have to go to Brand X's portal to look at my results. I can no longer get my results from my provider. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was like the DMV of getting my blood drawn. All that waiting has an impact. You could feel the tension in the waiting room. And I never knew how good I had it until it was gone. This is what your patients are saying. This is what your providers are saying, not yours, but those who are victims of these poor decisions. And wouldn't it have been awesome if somebody could have just had a little bit of common sense? And there's a lot of it out there. So when you think about it, again, laboratory touches between 4 and 5 times more patients than any other service in healthcare. We are the feeder for the health system. Is that part of the thought? Probably not. Why would anybody sell a profitable business? If you look in the lower right, a quote from Tony Berger, who's the retired administrator from Cayuga Medical Center. She said, why are they so interested in buying if it's not valuable? The upper left quote, same organization, microbiology manager. When you outsource your lab, you introduce a delay in getting results. Clearly, we know that. Lower left, Keith Laufman says, penny wine, pound foolish. And you know the old story, once the camel gets its nose in the tent, the rest of the camel follows. Open up a crack, and they're in there, and they don't get out. So if leadership understood that, if somebody was sitting there in 2008 listening to a pitch, and I hate to say this, but guess what? As we sit here today, there could be somebody making a pitch to your own leaders. So if your leaders are sitting, if they know, if they're thinking about it right, they should be asking these questions as table stakes, basic, basic questions. And my encouragement to you is that you should also be answering these questions for them, helping them understand, demonstrating this. First thing is, what are the top three benefits to patients? What are the top three benefits your laboratory brings for patients today? You don't have to answer them for me, but you need to answer them for yourself, and you need to answer them for your leaders. What are we doing to make our patients more safe? Safety, quality, and results. What does success look like for our employees, and how do we increase employee engagement? Again, you need to answer these questions for yourself. How do you create a win-win scenario with payers? May not be on the unit cost, but it certainly could be as far as reducing that avoidable cost, those avoidable hospital bed days, right? So you start to think beyond laboratory, what can we do to create a win-win with payers? Because you're not going to be able to maybe get the same rates as a commercial laboratory, but there are other things that you can do. How do we align with our organization for future endeavors? How are you aligned to help with that cancer center that they're going to be opening next quarter? How are you aligned to help with the women's center that's going to be opening? These are things, when you start to think about laboratory, we have a tremendous opportunity. How do you support innovation? We've heard a lot about innovation today already. So how do you partner and how do you align with innovation within your organization? How do you enhance your organization's reputation or brand? And looking back to those Reddit posts, those were people who were lamenting the loss of that brand and having to go to other laboratories. And then truly, what is the long-term financial impact for the organization? Today, if you have a successful laboratory outreach program, you are bringing between 30 and 40% profit to the bottom line of your hospital. There's no other service line in your organization that is that profitable, 30 to 40%. That's real money that they have today. You grow that, you're growing that profit as well. So one thing that I promised in the overview of this session, in case you ever read that overview on the descriptor, the question was that I would offer you a self-assessment. So get your devices out one more time, your self-assessment, to see where you stand. Is your laboratory at risk? And what are you doing to change that narrative? So we're going to start simple. Does your organization CEO know where the laboratory is? Yes or no? You chuckle, but somebody said no. They might know where it is, but have they ever toured? It's amazing how many say, oh yeah, well, I know where it is, but I don't go in there because it smells funny. There's yucky stuff to look at. They're grossing surgery there. I don't want to look at it. And those people are kind of quiet and weird. That's okay. We save lives. We do good stuff. So the majority of you, yes, of course, your CEO knows where the laboratory is. Next question. How is your laboratory currently viewed by your organization's leadership? How is your laboratory currently viewed? Are you a cost center? Are you a revenue center? Are you a profitable revenue center? Are you invisible? Are you a problem they just don't know how to handle? There's no wrong answer here. It's all anonymous. So as I'm seeing the numbers showing up, I'm going to give you a little more time. There are some optimists in the room. Keep going, guys. It's a race. It's a race. We're going to see how this goes. Okay. So we have an even split between, okay, all right, keep going. I know there are some of you who haven't voted yet. So we're going to stick with 33% say that you are a profitable revenue center. Congratulations to you. That's what you are. 29% you feel that you might be viewed as a cost center. Okay, take this to heart. You're not a cost center. You can change that story. 28% seen as a revenue center. 8% you're a problem. You don't need to be a problem. You are a solution. You just need to shift the story a little bit. Okay, next question. Which of the following outreach metrics do you track regarding your laboratory? I believe you can answer more than one on this question. So the choices are outreach volume, none, net revenue, profitability, or outreach performance trends, as in KPIs. So again, you have the opportunity to choose more than one. Looks like the majority of you are able to track your volume. Some of you are able to track your net revenue. Some are able to track profitability. Some of you track performance trends, and 15% of you don't track anything. And that's dangerous when you are financially blind and your leadership is financially blind to your value. That makes you substantially more vulnerable. So let's look at the volume, revenue, profitability. How often do you communicate your financials to your leadership? Monthly, quarterly, annually, or never? This is your self-assessment. No right answer. Most of you are reporting monthly. Some are annual, some are quarterly, but definitely the majority are monthly. Okay, this next option, you have an opportunity to rank your laboratory in hospital priority. Slide the bar on your device, and you'll be able to select where your laboratory ranks. Where do you rank compared to imaging, surgery, lab, physical therapy, pharmacy, or the cafeteria? So again, you can move and slide these bars around and think like a hospital leader. What's most important to them, and where do you rank? Are you able to pull those? Okay, oh yeah, surgery is the lion's share. Well, that's only two people voting. So this one's a little bit more work. I'll give you some time. Surgery is probably the number one revenue generator in an organization, so of course it's going to be a very high priority. Imaging and pharmacy seem to be ranking very close, neck and neck, as a second and third option. Laboratories ranking fourth. Physical therapy is five. And thankfully, cafeteria is at the bottom. I didn't want to see anybody putting cafeteria before lab. Show of hands, did anybody do cafeteria ahead of lab? Oh, that's okay, Rhonda. We love you anyway. It's okay. All right. Okay. So last, I think I might have one more word cloud for you, but Type in a word. What's your lab's best kept secret? What do you think your lab's best kept secret is? I see some of you just were focusing on the content and not having your devices out. I love this. Your people, your employees, your staff, information, data, absolutely your best kept secret. You are filling your medical record with data, and it's useful data. High margin revenue generator. Stewardship. Fantastic. You're all doing a great, great job. So these are best kept secrets, but guess what? Don't keep them a secret. Your mission, when you're back at your labs next week, is start talking about these things and the things that you are doing so, so well. So the tangible action steps, where do you go from here? Talk about that value proposition, all the stuff that was on that previous slide. Talk about it. Find the stakeholders that need to know this and expand your stakeholder community beyond your executives. Get to the board of directors. Sometimes these conversations don't even happen with the executives. They happen at the board level. Align with other departments. Health plan contracting. Department chairs, your Department of Medicine, align with other stakeholders where lab adds value. And do everything that you can to shift that perception. You're not a cost center. You are a high margin contributing revenue center. So do everything you can to shift that and realize that the high value diagnostics that we provide are driving and changing patient care and patient outcomes. And make sure you've got a seat at the table. With the diagnostic teams, with the care teams. We belong there. They can't do it without us. What we do is important. So last question for you. How do you feel about your laboratory's future? One word answer. This is the final word cloud of the day. Two more slides. We're going to be right on time, Modena. Right on time. Bleak, optimistic. Oh, keep going. Keep going. Whoever the bleak person is will give you a hug at the end. Lab is everything. You're worried. You feel you have a bright future. You're energized. Thank you for that. Encouraged. All right. Optimistic, positive, energized. Lab is everything. You guys have been paying attention. You get it. So we don't want to be the next parking meters for Chicago. So why did I encourage you? Let's be like Yogi Berra. When you see a fork in the road, what are you going to do? You're going to take it. When you see a fork in the road, take it. This is ours to win. And when you think about the work that we do every day, it's aligned for the patient. It's aligned to help the providers care for the patient. And when we keep that view ahead of us, our laboratories are sure to win. So with that, I want to thank you for your attention. Thank you for your engagement. And we'll have time for a few questions at the end. Thank you, everyone.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.